Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lord, we give the Lord praise. Today we're going to have the altar prayer book that we had been impressed upon by the Lord to save it until after the message today. And we're going to take a look today at a word from the Lord that has been designed specifically for you and me. Amen. Something has been coming this way from some time back that the Lord has made ready for us today. Amen. So we're going to call your attention to a text here. Some of you may have copies of the lesson, and if you did not, there may be a few back. I don't know if you mentioned there a few back there. But we'll ask if the ushers would make sure you do, if we do have them there. I'm not certain where they are. There are any more left. But otherwise, let me call your attention to text for our message today. We'll be looking at an Old Testament text in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and also New Testament text in the book of John, chapter 16. So you can locate those if you would do that. Put a bookmark in John 16 in the New Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, in the Old Testament. We'll look at verses 24 to 29 in the Old Testament text, and verses 17 to 30 in John 16, verses 17 to 30, so you can locate those. And our lesson today is going to be kind of a biblical lesson because it is something that we need to get a better understanding of, and it will be a great blessing when we get a grasp on it. And so we want to go right ahead and understand it. Of course, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and from the front of your Bible to get you to the book of Numbers, and we're going to take a look at chapter 11 there. The book of Numbers, chapter 11. All right, everybody got it? Amen. Numbers 11, verse 24 from the King James translation reads like this: "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. We read Numbers 11, 24 through verse 29. May God have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now observe with me John 16, New Testament text, verse number 17. You'll find these words in from the King James translation. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall see, you shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he said? A little while. We cannot tell what he said. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall see not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask, shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Amen. We've read selected verses, John 16, verses 17 to 27. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. I'd like to use for a topic for our message today, in the fullness of the Spirit. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for this time of fellowship today. We thank you, Father, that you have let us come together, and we have even partaken of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, Lord, to allow us to sup with you today in a very intimate fellowship, Father. We just praise you for that provision that represents all the work that you did in preparing a way of salvation for our souls. And so today, oh God, we come asking for a fresh breath of the Spirit on every member who is here today. Father, we know that it's by your Spirit that you did so many things. And so, Father, today we want to ask that you bless us with ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Father, we want you to bless us individually with ears to hear what the Spirit saith to us individually, each one of us here. And Father, we just thank you today for the privilege to be able to call upon your name just because of what you did when you sent your own Son to be crucified on the cross for wretched sinners like us, and to give us the privilege to be able to come in prayer and ask anything, and that you will hear us. You said you will hear. Ask and we will receive. Seek and we will find. Knock and it shall be open. And so, Father, we come today asking for a special blessing today, God. We want you to bless our mind, our understanding, our hearts, our lives, our children, our families, our homes, our church, our jobs, everything, Father. We just ask for an immense blessing by your Spirit. But right now, specifically, oh God, help us separate our minds to be in your word, Father, that you might teach us something that we didn't know about your love and about your grace. And we ask this in the righteous name of Jesus Christ. Give everyone under the sound of my voice a special blessing today to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we just love to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is awesome. And many times I think we neglect to discuss the work of the Spirit as much as we ought to. And what I want to say is that from the very beginning, if you recall, John tells us, Jesus in the book of John, speaking to the woman at the well, said that God is a spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so initially, the whole setup was God the Spirit, who created man in his own image, the Bible says. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The initial making of man was a spiritual thing. God made Adam in his own image. The image of God is a spiritual image because God is spirit. And then in Genesis 2, it tells us how God formed dust from the ground and formed it into a man. And it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. So now Adam has physical form. Not only does he have spiritual form, but he enveloped his own son, Adam, in flesh, made from the dust of the ground. And Adam became a living soul. So he united the spiritual creation that was made in his own image with a physical image. He gave Adam a body that he might dwell in the earth. and that he might be able to subdue the earth and make it yield its secrets to him. Now, you know, the earth is filled with secrets. If we think about all the things we enjoy today that no one had just a few years ago, we can see that the earth is filled with secrets. These are things that God put there that are the earth is capable of producing. It took man a long time to figure out that we don't have to sit in a hot house. We can make electricity. We can make an air conditioner. We can plug it in and cool the place down. It took man a long time to figure out I don't have to go out and dig a ditch to use the bathroom. I can do plumbing and make it go out and rinse it on down to the river and get rid of it. Took man a long time to figure out I don't have to walk everywhere I go. I can produce transportation other than riding on animals and things. And so man had to figure these things out, but all the raw material and the capability for everything that you and I enjoy today has always been here. It was right when God made Adam. And so Adam had a lot of other things to think about, and so he wasn't thinking about those kind of things back in his time. But God did this because man is the object of his love. And that's one thing we have to understand. It was out of love that God made man after he had created all these wonderful things and put all this capability within the creation. It was right there under every man's nose, all those generations. But we did all these things the hard way, we could say. We did it the best we knew how until we figured out a better way to do things. And but yet the wisdom of God had put the raw materials here in the earth for us to enjoy and to be able to bring all these wonderful things out. Television is an awesome thing when you think about it. You know, people thought it was impossible at one time to even have anything like TV or radio. And these are invisible things that happen in the world, transmitted signals. They go through the air unseen and they arrive at a receiver so that you can see something that's not even there in your presence. And so you can hear something but from someone miles away or even all the way around the world. A lot of mystical things that kind of show us some of the great potential that the earth has. And so basically these are kind of spiritual things. God made the world in a spiritual manner with a lot of invisible stuff that goes on, like magnetism. We talk about oxygen. We talk about all kinds of gases that exist that we cannot see with the human eye, but we know they're there. So God made so many invisible things in order to make it possible for you and I to accept that which is invisible, the things that are unseen. And that's what it says in Romans. Now this lesson is very thick. I'm trying to be precise here and concise because time is going to slip away. We know how that goes. So let us look at this. I want to talk about now the fullness of the Spirit. Adam, when he was made and with his wife in paradise, in the perfect world, with all that potential, was in the Spirit of God. God's Spirit was closely connected to Adam because there was no flaw, no sin, no reason for separation until Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, then it was necessary, since God is holy and cannot, is of too pure eyes, as I could say, to look upon iniquity, he separated from Adam. And Adam now was in a different state, a fallen state, not like that original state that God had made him in and made him perfect and given him a perfect world. He had perfect wisdom, perfect understanding, but by his own free choice, he disobeyed God and the Spirit of God departed. Now, that's what God meant when he said that the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, first he gave a blessing. He said, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden. All the whole world is yours. Have anything in it you want.
Yes, sir.
And then he sanctified one tree. Mm-hmm. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, people say, well, was that a bad tree? No. The tree was holy. Have you ever thought of it? Because God said everything I made is good, and it's very good. There was no sin in the tree. The tree itself was holy. It was even more holy because God separated that tree from the rest. He sanctified this tree, leave it alone. The rest of them are yours. You can do whatever you like. And so that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not a bad tree. It was a holy tree. God made it. It was good and very good. But when did the sin happen? It wasn't because of the tree. It was because God said, don't touch it. Don't eat it. He said, don't eat it. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the transgression came from Adam when he ate. It was not the tree. There was nothing wrong with the tree. He ate of the holy tree. But he produced sin because he disobeyed what God said.
Amen, brother.
So disobeying God is a rebellious act against the will of God that you willfully commit. And sometimes we unwillfully commit them now. After the tragedy is that once the seed of sin was planted in the world, it grows just like all the other seeds in the world. And so we have to be very careful how we walk. But it is the Spirit of God that is the thing we're talking about. What was lost when Adam sinned was that perfect close connection with God the Spirit. Adam even went ahead. Remember, he went and ran, and him and Eve and decided, well, we're going to do something now. We're not covered anymore. We know we're naked. Seeing your own nakedness was the result of the sin.
Well,
the Spirit of God separated. The Shekinah of God took off of them. That was like a cloud and a mist that they existed in. They covered them so they didn't see their nakedness. Once they sinned, zip, it was gone. Oh my goodness, here I am with no covering. See? And then they went and ran and decided, well, we've got to cover ourselves. And that was the beginning of false religion. Man trying to cover himself. You see, we got to be covered. We know we're naked. We got to be covered. So what did they do? They took fig leaves and made aprons to cover their loins. Now, you know, it's interesting. We cover the loins. We don't care if you see the rest. But don't look at these loins. We cover the loins. That's what we always do. And it's kind of why the writer Paul in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, when he says, put on the whole armor of God, he says, gird about your loins with truth. The truth is the thing that we need. And the first thing in the armor of God is to gird your loins with the truth. Cover your loins with the truth. And he says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He goes on through that whole armor. But we need to be covered with the truth. It's the truth, Jesus said, that will make you free. And so moving along here, we see that once sin entered, it was necessary for man to cover himself. God had given him a body of flesh so that he could move about and operate in the material world. He was a spiritual being in a body of flesh, given dominion over the whole creation. He lost it or mortgaged it to the devil when he sinned. And so things changed, and from that time there's been a distance between God the Spirit and mankind on the earth. And so what I want you to see is that the restoration of that Spirit, this is the ultimate place we'd like to go in our teaching today, to have you see that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he paid the debt necessary to buy us back out of that condition of sin and to bring perfect reconciliation to all men so that we could have perfect fellowship and walk in the fullness of the Spirit.
All right.
So this is where we're heading, but I want you to see some things in between, and we're going to talk about some of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to help us understand this today. So what I want you to see is from that time, that primitive time when Adam and Eve lost that perfect fellowship with God, it was sacrificed by the sin of Adam, by his disobedience to God, had nothing to do with the tree. The tree was spotless. The fact was Adam's heart was not clean because he disobeyed the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is God. That's the first thing I want you to understand. We talk about God in three persons. Now, how many have heard of the word Trinity? The word Trinity is not in the Scripture, but we do find a threefold description of three persons that are all called God in the Bible. So this is the reason we acknowledge the doctrine of the Trinity, as it is called. And so attempting to describe the Holy Spirit is very much like trying to empty the Mississippi River using a 5-gallon bucket. How successful do you think you would be? You feel pretty fruitless down there trying to take a 5-gallon bucket and dump empty that river, wouldn't you? You see, you probably look pretty tired, and you look and say, well, it doesn't even look like I've done any good. You know, and so that's how difficult it would really be for us to talk about this. It would be just as difficult as if you took a 5-gallon bucket, went down there under the arch, and start throwing the water out, and think we're going to get somewhere. So it's very difficult to do, but bear with me. I think the Spirit can help here today. So each time you draw out a bucket, there's always more and more and even more. But nevertheless, let us draw out a few buckets of some of this most basic terminology of the so we can understand the immeasurable importance and the understanding of believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we may tap into the wellspring of knowledge provided by the Holy Spirit from the inspired text, the Holy Bible, that was breathed by the Spirit of God. Keep in mind, His Word is God breathed, it says. You know, God Himself breathed or inspired the Word of God, and it was for this very reason. He breathed it by the Holy Spirit Himself for the very reason that you and I might understand the deep things of God. So therefore, let us discuss in brief from the Word the highlights of this relationship to both believers and unbelievers. This is what you and me need to understand. Now, there's a lot of topics to this. This is super deep. We're not going to get through it all. I know today we need to have a serial teaching on this in order to really get a good grip on it. But we're going to try to hit some highlights today. The Holy Spirit and His attributes are manifested in creation. That's a topic you may want to talk about. Because the Spirit was there in the creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And this is what? The Spirit of God hovered over the creation. He moved gently over the surface of the water to help form the earth, to bring it into the form that we now see it. Not in this exact form, because of course it went through a transition in the days of Noah after the great flood. But the Spirit was involved in the creation. The Trinity talks about the reactions that God has and how He interacts with the world and with man. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is another subject that happens to believers, those who believe. God Himself immerses you into the body of Christ, into the Spirit, and He gives you and equips you to do work for His will. And then blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is only unpardonable sin. Did you know that? You can sin against God the Father and God the Son and be forgiven, but the Bible says blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. It cannot be forgiven. And not in this age, neither in the age to come. So we see a great emphasis by God just on that. And the reason is the Holy Spirit works with the triune God. In other words, He's a part of the Godhead. His job is to reveal Christ to you. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they believe not on Me. So His conviction is that you and everyone who hears the gospel should believe on His Son. You see, that's why we preach. That's why He sent preachers out into the world to preach the gospel. When you preach, the Holy Spirit is there energizing the message, letting whoever hears it know that you are in sin and you need the Son of God. There is no other way to be right with God. The Spirit of truth convicts the world of sin. It convicts the world of righteousness, Jesus said, because I go to the Father. You know, He's the only one came here, born of a woman, went through life, did not offend God, went into the grave of His own free will, died, defeated death, hell, and the grave, got up out of the grave 3 days later, and ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of God. Only one born of a woman that ever did that. You see? And so therefore, He is righteous. We know because no one else ever did that. No one else ever will. Only those who believe in Him will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so we want to also talk about non-biblical analysis concerning the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we can condense all that today. But the Holy Spirit is God. That's the first thing I want to say. Many aberrant teachers teach that the Holy Spirit is not God, or they believe that He is something else other than God. You see? And so we want to set that forth this morning. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, who therefore is equal to the Father and the Son as well, who also, since the fall of Adam, has been distant from man due to sin, the sin of Adam, thus holding a requirement of redemption and reconciliation, which was provided by Jesus Christ, God the Son. You see, at the bequest of God the Father, it was all the Father's plan to send His Son all the way from the foundation of the world, whose very essence is love. God is the very essence of God is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Well, the makeup of God is love. He loved Adam to start with, and He does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord your God, I do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's perfect. He remained perfect even though the whole creation was tainted with sin. And so His motivation is always love. You have to understand that.
Yes.
God loves you. Now, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, boy, I can't get it. And the reason why, my ears were dull from the sin that I was living in. See? But when you believe God, you hear the gospel that God gave His Son for you. Why? Because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see that? His motivation is always love and redemption and forgiveness. So you have to accept that. It was hard for me to accept. Why would you love me? Because I knew how I was, you see. I understood all my faults, all my sin. It was like 1 Corinthians where it says, who knows the mind of the man except the spirit of the man which is in me? Now my spirit knew all about me. And I was hearing somebody tell me God loves me. I'm going, well, I don't understand why would you love me. Because I'm looking at me trying to figure out a reason why would He love me. And the thing I should have been doing is looking at Him. He is love. He never changes. He loved you from the beginning. He loves you now. You are the one who needs him. We need him. He does not really need us. But he loves us, and he made us because he wants us to be with him and have fellowship with him. He wants you to know he loves you. That's why he sends out preachers into the world to preach the gospel. And that's why I lived all those years in rebellion and sin against him, and he didn't send me to the grave. It was mercy. God was giving mercy to give you time to understand that I love you. And you can stop right now. You can get right with me right now. You can turn right now and believe in me and trust in me, and I will come into your life and reconcile you, bring you right back to perfect fellowship like it was even before the fall. And so how can I do that? Because I put your debt on my son. I supplied him for you so that he could die in your place, so that he could willfully give his life as a ransom for your sin. And if you trust in him, he's the only one I'm going to be looking at. On judgment day, do you have the blood of Jesus covering your life? See, and the Holy Spirit bears witness that this is a fact. The calendar even bears witness. How did that happen? How did Jesus get in the middle of the calendar? Because God put it there. He wanted to fix it so you won't have a lot of trouble saying you don't know who he is or you don't believe who he is. It's 2011 years since he was born. And the world is walking after that time schedule, you see? And so we ought to believe the gospel. The gospel is true that God sent his son because he loves us. Now God, the Holy Spirit, has a purpose of revealing Christ to the believer. He has a purpose and is also the indwelling teacher. When you trust in Christ, the vacuum that we had because the Spirit had departed from us is filled. Soon as you believe in Christ, it's like you opening up a can of coffee. You hear that vacuum going away, and the Spirit is right back in there where he belongs. He sucks right into your life. He takes up residence in you. The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. You see? And so God gives you back that equal feeling that you have. You get the earnest of the Spirit paid into your life, and he indwells you from the moment you believe on until the day of redemption. We don't know when that will be. It could happen at any time. But the Holy Spirit is given, and why does he do that? So that we can think a new way. We can see the world a new way. We have a new outlook, a new purpose. We have all kinds of new things coming to our lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so the Holy Spirit has a purpose of revealing Christ to the believer and is also the indwelling teacher who is responsible for scriptural revelation, because the Word of God is also spiritual. It was breathed by the Spirit of God. We have it right here. I always like to remind people that the Word of God has been in the world as long as you have. It was here when you got here. And chances are it'll be here when we're gone from here. So it's been there the whole time. And we have an access to whose fault is it? You see, the fact is it was there when I was born. The day I was born, it was already there done, exactly like it is for everybody in our time. And so the revelation of the Scripture is something that is very, very vital that the Holy Spirit provides. He provides conviction for sin and righteousness. He comforts us through all the variations of life in the fallen world, internal witness of salvation. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God, Romans 8 says. He is a producer of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He makes you bear fruit for God. Remember that I am the vine and you are the branches. And any branch that abides in me shall bear fruit, Jesus said. The Father will prune you and he will clean you up to make you right so that you can bear the fruit for his glory. God does that. He works all things together for good to those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. He helps you through all the trials and difficulties in your life. Now, he won't take it away from you. You remember David, as Pastor read this morning, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's there to comfort you and take you through the trials and the trouble, whatever it is. And with long life, he says, and in one of the Psalms, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is keeping you around, walking you through the process of this life in the fallen world. He gives the internal witness of salvation. He's the producer of the fruit of the Spirit, author of the Scripture, distributor of the gifts to the body of Christ. He gifts everyone he saves. personal guide along the course of everyday life of those executing God's will and ministers. God directs the steps of the minister and in the course that he takes. He is also the intercessor, making up for the shortcomings of our prayer life. We don't pray as we ought to. We have an infirmity, it says Romans 8:26. You see, but God, the Holy Spirit, is in there. So he knows, Brother Fisher, you didn't pray right, or you didn't say the right thing, or you need some of this or some of that, and he fills it in to make my prayer life perfect, even though I'm not perfect. He is the anointing which he who believes in him has from the Holy One, 1 John 2:27. Everyone who believes is anointed from the Holy One, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so I want you to see that the giving of the Holy Spirit in his fullness is the reason that Jesus instructed his disciples that it was expedient for them that he go away so that the Holy Spirit may come to indwell and fill them in a way that had not been desired even from the days of Moses. This is something that man longed for all of this time, the people who were actually God's people, the chosen people. So looking at our text here in the Old Testament, I want you to see that briefly here in Numbers 11. This is the time, if you look at the whole chapter, you'll see that the people start off in Numbers 11 complaining. It says that when the people had complained, it displeased the Lord. Why? Because he brought them out of Egypt, brought them away from their enemies, used miracles to bring them out, opened up the Red Sea, and they crossed on dry land, closed up on their enemies behind them, and got rid of them, wiped them out. And then you get over here now in the wilderness and you have the audacity to complain. What about the church? What about what he did? He sent his sons to the cross. Allowed them to be crucified for our sins. And then we come to church and every little thing is a problem. We should watch ourselves, because God is displeased when his people complain. You know why? Because complaining doesn't do anything. It makes the problem worse. Prayer can change things. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. So instead of complaining, we ought to be on our knees, calling on the Lord. You see, and here it is, you see the reaction here in Numbers 11. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And when they complained, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, it says verse 1, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So God began to send judgment because the people were not grateful. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Moses was the intercessor. But what we see here is Moses was having a very difficult job handling all the people that were there. And so he had chosen 70. You remember the advice of Jethro that had been given to him in the book of Exodus, chapter 18. And he told him, get somebody else to help you carry the load. So the 70 were there. God had anointed Moses with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was external in these days. He was not internal, because that couldn't happen until Jesus made perfect reconciliation for the sin of the world. And so the Spirit was on Moses, it says, you'll notice in the text. And there was a mixed multitude. This was people who, it says in verse 4, who fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? They start whining about the provisions. We remember the fish that we did eat in the land of Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. They would say, we missed the spicy food from back there where we were. You know, and some of us might be thinking, oh, we missed the clothes in the car. We're picking it up with our drink. Well, we better watch.
Come on.
You see. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. God sent manna. He sent bread from heaven to feed their souls. They weren't happy with the bread that was sent. They wanted some flesh and onions and melons and leeks and garlic to go along with it, you see. And so, basically, to make a long story short, the Lord sent quail, and they covered the ground. And they had quail for many days after this particular time. And we come to the text here. Now, Moses begins to see that working with all these people is a great burden. And so, in verse 24, Moses began to pray. Actually, we back up in verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand wax sharp? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass. Moses said, I don't know if we can do this thing with all these quail coming in here. It's supposed to come in, and says up here in verse 19, that ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but for the whole month. I'm sending you a month's worth of grain. It was difficult for him to believe that the Lord would do this. But him because he said, my hand is not short, I can do anything I promise you. In verse 24 it says, and Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men, see that, of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him, see that, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass, now God distributed the Holy Spirit to the helpers of Moses to give them the authority and the power of God to help with the problem that was going on in the camp. You see that? Now notice what it says here. And then it says in verse number 25, the Lord came in the cloud, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now they start to speak the word of God, and they kept on speaking it. They weren't complaining now. Now they're prophesying, which means to speak forth the word of God. They were comforting the people now by the word that Moses had given. Verse 26, but there remained two men in the camp, the name of one Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, in other words, they were part of the group of the chosen, but went not unto the tabernacle. They just stayed where they were, but the Spirit still fell upon them, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man. Now somebody sees them over there prophesying, not at the tabernacle, and they come and run and tell Moses, hey, Eldad and Medad, you prophesied in the camp, they're not over here with you. You see that? And so Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, he was one of the two who came running in. Here's Joshua with a misunderstanding. Answered and said, my Lord, Moses forbid them. Stop them. Double stop that. Come down here and prophesy with us. You see that? Look at Moses' response. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? Are you envious of them because they're not over here with us for my sake? His reaction is wounded to God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. I wish everybody was filled with the spirit. Moses said. See, then you could all prophesy. He was looking at a future time. Joel said, there's coming a day when your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall see visions. And that time was coming. It was yet future. That time would be after the Messiah came and paid the debt for our sin. That time is when Jesus is down here in John 16 about to return to the Father after completing a perfect mission on earth. He's returning to the Father here in John 16 and he begins to give them what we call the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 1, John 16, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you thinketh it, or shall think they are doing God a service. And these things will they do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things, he said, I said unto you at the beginning, I did not say it at the beginning because I was with you. But Jesus is about to return to heaven. And so he begins to tell them. Of course, this all started in 14. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He was preparing them for his work on the cross, his eventual death on the cross, and his laying in the grave the 3 days and nights, and his resurrection. And they didn't want to hear it. They thought it was wonderful having you here. You know, and I'm sure it must have been. It must have been one of the most spectacular things you've ever seen. But in verse 17 of this same chapter, the disciples began to argue a little bit here, kind of like those people in Numbers 11. It says here, Jesus said he was going to the Father a little while, verse 16, and he shall not see me. And again, a little while, he shall see me, but I go to the Father. See that? I'm going to be gone for 3 days and nights. You'll see me again after I defeat death, hell, and the grave. And I'll be around a little while, and I'm going back to the Father. But he told them to go and wait. Remember that? In Jerusalem, till you'll be endued with power from on high, because he prophesied the coming of the Holy Spirit. The thing that Moses and all of them had longed for all the way back there was about to be fulfilled. God, the Son, was going to pay the debt so that the Holy Spirit could be given and indwell everyone who believes in him. You see that? And of course, that happened in Acts 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They said they were all together in one place on one accord, and the Spirit of the Lord came down as a rushing mighty wind, and like golden tongues of fire, and set up on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see? And so the fulfillment of this thing that had been longed for a long time came to pass after Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, risen, and ascended into heaven. And so here in verse 17, the disciples were talking among themselves. What is this that he said? A little while, they couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. They're like, go away, and you will not see me. And then they're trying to figure out the whole thing he said. And so Jesus said, basically there, he began to explain it. He says, they said, therefore, what is this thing? And Jesus, verse 19, knew. He says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves about us in a little while, and you see me not? And you shall not see me again a little while, and you shall see me verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. This is the result of him going to the grave, from the cross to the grave, and his resurrection. And he says, like a woman when she's with child, when she delivers the child, the anguish of the birth process and the delivery are all over, and she can now rejoice. He says, and therefore, verse 22, now, therefore you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. And he says, and in that day you shall ask nothing. See that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So there's a day I won't be there for you to ask me personally, but you can ask the Father. That's the time we live in. Hitherto ye ask me nothing in my name. He says, I ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. I will show you plainly the Father. That's the work of the Spirit that Jesus is talking about. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. And the reason is, verse 27, if you ever want to know why does God love you, memorize verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and believed that I came out from God. See that? That's why God loves you. And that's why he loves me. Because we have loved his Son, whom he sent, and believed that he has come out from God. So the giving of the Holy Spirit in his fullness is the reason that Jesus instructed his disciples that it was expedient for them that he go away, so that the Holy Spirit may come to indwell and fill them in a way that had been desired even from the days of Moses, when the 70 and Eldad and Medad had externally been anointed with the same Spirit that was on Moses, and was later prophesied by Joel the prophet and experienced in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. So we have many topics about this that we don't have time to touch on today. Our time is about up. But I want to ask now at this time that we have an altar prayer. And I want to ask that if you have anything in your mind that you would like to submit to the Lord as something that he can work on. All the problems that we have, the things we go through, the solution is already there. You and I have been given the authority to ask the Father directly. You notice that Jesus said, I don't have to be there, but you ask in my name. Amen. Of the Father. How is that? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. He gives you the authority. He makes you right with God. And even if we don't get it perfectly right, he fills it up. He intercedes on our behalf. So I want to ask the church to stand at this time. And if you have anything at all that you'd like to ask God to do, we know some of the things that are wrong with us. Sometimes we're not very truthful. We like to be secretive or keep things to ourselves. You see, but God knows. He knows, and he's the only one that can fix certain things that are broken in our lives. I can think of a number of things myself that need to be fixed. I can think of a number of things that would be wonderful if God would do it. And I can see a lot of stuff that has not been done, that should be done. And Jesus said, if we just ask, then we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And we come to him sincerely. All of us, you know what, it's a miracle that a wretch like me can be saved and filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so I thank God for that. And I know he's there because I'm different than I used to be. Y'all might think, well, it ain't too good now. Well, I'm better than I used to be. You should have known me a few years ago. You know, you did. You'd be just knocked over. You'd be just
Father, we don't know half the time some of the stuff that we ought to do. And so, God, by your Holy Spirit, lead us, God, guide us, bless us, help us. We need you, Father. We just want to know that we're in the Spirit. Help us, Father, like you did Moses and the 70, and Eldad and Medad. God, help us to go out and just be prophesying the word. Teach us the word. Let it flow through us, oh God. And just overflow out the doors, God, with other people in the neighborhood, in our homes, our families, oh God, on our jobs, at our schools, in the marketplace, in the streets, everywhere, God. Just bless us today, Father. Fill us with the overflow of your Spirit, oh God, that we might serve you, oh God. We ask special anointing, a double portion of on Pastor Jeffrey. God bless him. Fill him, God, and lead and guide him. Empower him, God, by your Spirit. And we just thank you, Father, today. Thank you for every person here, Father. Thank you for all the elderly, God. Ask them to strengthen them, God. Give them strength to press on, Lord, until the trumpet sounds. God, we just thank you today. We praise you today, Father. We magnify you, oh God. And we ask you to bless the children. Let the seed of the gospel be left in their hearts, Lord, that they might come up in Jesus Christ and be powerful in the earth, Lord. We just bless you today. We praise you today, Father. Even if there's somebody here that was not sure they're saved and have understood the gospel, fill them right now with the Spirit. Seal them for the day of redemption. Let them go out knowing, oh God, that they are saved, redeemed, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless your name. And Father, we ask you to bless us, oh God, as we go down from this place, as we travel to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are truly our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. And we ask it in the powerful and perfect name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And the church see it all together. Amen. 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 We come this far by faith. We love the Lord, trusting in his holy word. If you want to become a member of this church, would you come now if you want.